Father, we thank you today for your wonderful love for us, and we thank you that though we are saved by grace through faith, it is a gift and cannot be earned. Yet you have so established it that once we are brought into relationship with you, we are able to fight this battle, and we are able by your grace to make advance, and we are able by your grace to lay hold of certain things that you have prepared for us. So I pray this morning that you will put that mindset in us, that it will not be a case where any of us would say, well, I'm saved now and that's enough, just as long as I get through the door, but that rather, Lord, we would view this as something to the high calling and to be the best we can be for you, your Spirit working in us and through us and enabling us, Lord, that you might receive the maximum glory through our lives even while we are here running this race. And we know it's not easy, and we know there are a lot of distractions and even a lot of difficulties. And yet you've told us in your word that if we keep pressing on, we can lay hold of that prize. And when Jesus comes, he won't come empty-handed. For as we read this very morning from Revelation, he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according as his work shall be." And again, Lord, knowing we don't earn salvation, but you are going to have rewards for those who serve you faithfully. So today, deal with us, Lord, in our hearts. And if we've been guilty of taking things a little too much for granted, I just pray today that thanksgiving will be reborn in our hearts. A thanksgiving that doesn't just say a devotional prayer on Thanksgiving Day, but that we might offer ourselves to you wholly every single day. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. What are you thankful for this year? You know, this is that time of year, and I've sort of taken the custom now that as we come to this time of the year and it's a time to give thanks, it's inevitably a time to look back, because we are giving thanks for the things that God has given us and the ways in which God has worked and blessed in our lives. So automatically, the time of Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to also look back and see what the Lord has done this year and how far he has brought us this year. And while we're looking back and considering those things, it's just an excellent time to take stock. How many here have ever worked in a business where they do an inventory once in a while? And the reason that inventories are done is to see what's on hand, what's missing, what we need, how much we sold, and things like that. But it's impossible. Even on a trip sometimes, you have to kind of evaluate where you're at in order to see where you've been, and then in order to see what the goal is for ahead. And so periodically, in any venture of life, almost always, there are times of evaluation. Many of you, perhaps in your jobs, are evaluated from time to time. And that is just so we can see where we're at, and maybe some correction that needs to be made, mid-course or whatever, and to accentuate the good and to shore up what isn't quite as good. And I've always felt, and increasingly so in recent years, that November, Thanksgiving time, is really the perfect time to do this, not the first of the year. This is the time to look back and see what God has done thus far. Things are going to get really, really hectic in December, and you're not going to have much time to think about it. And maybe things are hectic right now. But right now is a good time to look back and see what God has done and intentionally praise him for those things. But while we're looking back, just kind of see where we're at. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, test yourselves." So he says something similar in chapter 11, also of 1 Corinthians, to examine ourselves before we take the Lord's Supper. So this is a self-examination. This is an examination that we do with the Lord. I don't feel qualified to render a verdict on myself. I think the Lord is the only one who can render a verdict. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying examine yourselves for the sake, indeed, of seeing where you are, where you've been, where you need to go. Take stock. And that we can do. Because with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Word of God, we are able to do a self-examination. He didn't say examine your spouse. He didn't say examine your child. Oh, what's so funny about that? He didn't say examine your parent. He didn't say examine your niece, nephew, cousin, neighbor, work associate. He says examine yourself. And this is a test that we do with the Lord. Now, the only thing is that when we set about this, we do have to go about this with an open heart, and we have to go about this with great humility and seeking the assistance of the Holy Spirit, and we have to do it in a manner that is brutally honest, because otherwise it won't achieve very much. But this needs to be done periodically, and what better time than this time of year? So I'm not preaching a theological sermon this morning. Today is really more along the lines of a devotional thought as we approach this Thanksgiving season, and to say that it's a good time to take stock, to look back, and to also look ahead. The Apostle Paul obviously did this himself, and we can tell that by what we read this morning. These are from two passages, but both of these are written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was obviously very familiar with sporting events in Roman times. And you know, in the West, we have a great love for stadium sports, and I think that is something that, in a way, we have inherited from the Greeks and the Romans. And they loved their amphitheaters, and they had stadiums, and they loved competitions, and they loved events, and Paul was familiar with these. And he says, don't you know that all who, that all in a race, and actually in the Greek it says in a stadium, they all run, but only one gets the prize. So they had these races, and then whoever won the race got a wreath to wear, a crown of victory. And he says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. You don't just show up one day with your pot belly and say, I want to take part in this race here. No, they all train, but even then, only one takes the prize, he says. And that is the one who is the, anyway, who does the best. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So unless there was some type of reward at the end, where the Lord is going to reward faithful service, then why would Paul be talking this way, and why would he be bringing it up? It would be pointless. He is giving us a figure that we understand from the sports world today so that we can understand what it is that we're running for as a Christian. When did the race begin? It began the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And this morning in our Sunday school class back there, we're finishing up the book of Revelation. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. It can say quickly or soon. The Greek word means either one. And my reward is with me to render to every man according as his work shall be. Now, we know we don't work for our salvation. We know we don't earn salvation. That's a free gift that can only be purchased by the blood of Jesus. So we know he's talking about the service that we do for him after we become believers. And I said, way too many believers never realize their potential. Way too many believers never intentionally seek advance after they become believers. And there is no way. So not everybody's going to receive a reward. The Bible is clear on that. Some are going to make it to heaven, but they're not going to have a reward because they didn't put forth any effort after they believed. They're like, hey, I'm saved now. I'm fine. Well, they are so far as they won't be lost. They'll make it to heaven, but they're not going to receive any kind of reward. And Paul said, I want it. and I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to make an intentional effort toward it. And I'm still struggling toward it and still pressing toward it. Now, obviously, this isn't something we do in our strength. This is something we do as the Lord enables. But we've got to want it.
Amen.
It's often said that in sports games, whether it's running or football or whatever it may be, that in the end, sometimes they're all well-trained and all that, but a lot of times when it gets down to those final minutes, it's whoever wants it the worst. Do you want to do more than just warm a pew? Do you want to do more than just rock along in your spiritual life and go from crisis to crisis and ask other people to be the ones to bear you up? And thank God that He's put people in our church and surrounded us so that there are people that will lift us up. But do you want to have to depend on other people all your life in order to make it through spiritually? Or do you want to grow enough in the Lord on your own with the Word of the Lord and with the strengthening of His Spirit that through Him you are able to grow spiritually and you're able now, instead of being ministered to turn around and to minister to somebody else and be a blessing to somebody else? We can be saved without pressing forward. We can be saved without making advance and learning more from the Word of God. But we cannot be used greatly of the Lord in other people's lives unless we do that. In any venture, in the educational realm, you do not move up until you have had more intake. Is it possible to make spiritual advance without further intake from the Word of God? I ask you that today. Can you grow beyond where you are right now in the Lord without more intake from His Word? Whatever form that may take, whether it be a Bible study, whether it be your daily reading, whatever that may be, we cannot grow. Intake equals growth when we take it in and we begin to act on it. And we do that in the educational realm. So why is it that in the spiritual realm, we feel like, you know, we can just kind of float along and be okay? That should not be the way that it is. We should have this desire. And part of that, even if we're doing that, then part of that is an occasional evaluation to see where we are, where we've been, where we need to go. Everyone competes, but not everybody wins. And Paul says, as a minister and as an apostle, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. And by the way, pugnao, I don't know. Anyway, it's the Greek word for box. It's like a boxer. I'm not just beating the air. They had boxing all the way back then. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Then in Philippians, we know that well. And he says, everything that was really important to me and that I took pride in, all of that's gone. To me now, all of that is nothing but rubbish. It's all going to be eventually thrown out. And he says, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, you know, having a righteousness not of my own and so forth. And then he says, I want to keep pressing on. And he says, not that I have already obtained all this or been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then further down he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Now listen to this last verse we read. All of us who are mature, unless we're just a little kid and don't know what it's about yet, all of us who have a little bit of growth in the Lord, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. What view of things? The view that he has expressed in these verses, and which he says is his personal point of view and his personal course of action. Should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, if you're not there yet, that too God will make clear to you. And so I would just encourage you as a believer to do a little taking stock, a little looking back. You don't have to use this thing, but this is just something I did, but I just thought it'd be a good starting place. And you might be able to sit there right now and fill some of these in real quick with one or two words. Some of them may take more thought. But I would invite you to take this and just kind of work with it through the week, maybe over a cup of coffee or something. And if you think it's kind of, you know, that's not that long. I mean, it's not that complicated. But if you think that it's kind of long and complicated, then when you do it, just pretend you're on Facebook. Looking back, I don't do Facebook, but I see all those little quizzes. What was your most memorable vacation? What's your favorite deodorant? So if we can do that stuff, I think we can do this. Looking back, what I am most grateful for this year. Next week, we'll be sharing a little bit along those lines. As you know, on the last Sunday in November, we ask you to share. So think about that. What are you most grateful for this year? And what we're most grateful for in itself probably tells us a lot about ourselves. Number two, the single most significant thing God did in my life this year. If you can't think of anything, that's an indication too. But don't put anything down just to be putting it down. Give this a little bit of thought. Number three, the single most meaningful thing the Lord did through me this year. What has the Lord done through you this year? And again, if you don't have anything to put down, then that tells us the Lord wants to do something through me. So what might the Lord want to be doing through me? And how can I make myself available to the Lord so that He can do something through me? See, the Lord is continually wanting to do things in us, which He does faithfully through our circumstances, if we're open to Him. This is continual. No matter how long we've served the Lord, He's continually doing things in us. And then, as a result of His working in us, He will, if we are available, also do things through us. And both of these should always be going on. The single greatest truth I learned this year. Give that a little thought. And of course, we're speaking spiritually more than anything else. A new initiative I took in my Christian walk or ministry this year. And then what were the results of that? And then looking forward, three areas I most need to grow in, no less than one. If you can't think of three, then at least put down one. I would think that we all have at least one or two areas that we need to grow in, and we know that, and we need to be aware of it. An old Persian proverb that was on the inside, the fly leaf or whatever of my, I don't know if it was my fourth grade speller, it was a Persian proverb. He who knows not, And knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows and knows that he knows is wise. Follow him. So if we know not that we know not, we're lacking. There should be at least one area where we say, I know I need to grow in that area. And then we need to focus on that and ask the Lord's active help with that. Number two, a new initiative I need to take in my walk with Christ. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, there's nothing wrong with taking a new initiative. It might be as simple as having a fixed time of prayer every day, like Daniel did. Maybe we're serving the Lord, but we've never done that. Or having a little time in the Word each day. And I could easily stand here as pastor and assume that all of you do that. But I'm guessing we don't, with any, you know, consistency in many cases. So whatever it might be, a new initiative, something new, joining, starting to come to Sunday school, because I haven't been coming to Sunday school before, or getting involved in one of the initiatives here at the church, even if it's the soup kitchen or whatever it might be. I say even if. Any ministry. One's not really more important than the other. They're all important. Getting involved. Some new initiative in my walk with Christ. And the Lord can guide you in that. An old habit I need to get rid of. If you don't have any undesirable habits, then just skip on to the next one. A new habit I need to form. And sometimes that's almost a greater need than the former. An area of ministry I will seek to grow in. An act of obedience I need to take. That's always an interesting one. Someone I need to thank for their role in my life. I remember old Brother Barnett down in Alabama, lived a few miles north of us there in North Bruton. We left that area when I was about 4. Brother Barnett, in his early years, was a very angry man. My dad used to say he carried an expression that looked like he could bite a 10-penny nail in two. I think that's what my dad used to say. He spoke in builder's terms a lot because he was a builder. But the Lord got a hold of him and his wife, and he just became one of the most loving people there ever was. And I remember we had occasion to go through there, that area, when we were on the mission field. And by then, I don't know how old I was. I might have been 12. I might have been 14. I don't know how old I was. Anyway, there was a little prayer meeting in one of the homes. Remember when people had cottage prayer meetings? But I mean, this was probably in the 50s or 60s. And anyway, he got up and he just said, "I believe in giving people their flowers while they're still living." And then he went on to say what a blessing my mom and dad had been to him. So you may feel these things, but you need to tell them. Amen? And sometimes, if you can't use words, then maybe you would send flowers. But if you can, tell them. It might be your parent. Who knows who it might be? It might be somebody you're sharing a dorm space with at school. Whoever it is, but tell them. And someone I need to approach about the things of God. And there may be a lot of you out there today that just, you know, you have that little vague idea in the back of your mind, but you don't give it any real thought. You know, there's somebody you've befriended at work or at school, or a new neighbor that's moved in or whatever. And you know, and you're befriending them and all that, but you feel a little lost and you just have this feeling. I need to at least broach the subject with them. I need to find out if they know the Lord, at least. And then I need to seek a way to tell them a little something about the Lord, or invite them to church, or whatever that might be, but I need to approach them about the things of God. Maybe you've got more than one. We certainly won't limit you to one. But would you do this? And again, if there's a few blanks there, don't worry too much about that. But focus on the ones that you do. I think it was Mark Twain that was quoted as saying, "It's not all the things in the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the things I do understand." So, anyway, it's a great time of year to look back. Are you grateful this morning? Are you thankful? Do you have a lot to be thankful for? We do. And hopefully a lot of that thanksgiving is in the area of what God is doing in our lives, and also how we're seeing Him work in the lives of people around us. And let's make Thanksgiving a whole lot more than just a family get-together and a nicely browned turkey and some dressing and stuff like that. That's all fine and well. But I really don't think that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you today. And you have blessed us in many, many ways. Perhaps this year we have encountered some unexpected difficulties, some surprises, but perhaps also we have encountered some unexpected blessings. And I'm guessing that we have. And so, Lord, help us to remember those things and help us to look back and say, okay, now here's what God did. Now, what does God want me to do with this or in view of this? Perhaps there is something. But, Lord, thank you that the initial thing of saving us is entirely by grace. We could never earn it in 1,000 years, even if we tried. And thank you that that part, all we had to do was open our hearts and receive it. But now that we know you, we do want to do a little work for you, Lord. And we do want to live in such a way that we're getting to know you better and also able to be used of you to bless some people around us. So, Lord, help us this year to just kind of take stock. Thank you for what you've done. See a couple areas where maybe you want to work. And then just start looking to you and see what you will do in this coming year. Because you said, occupy till I come. And that's what we want to do. When you come back, we want to be busy right in the middle of whatever it was that you told us to do. And I know you want to work in all of us, and you also want to work through all of us in this coming year. Thank you for your wonderful gift, the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.